Welcome to Astrology Awareness. I'm your host, Carmen Turner Schott. My co-host, Suki, was unable to be with us today, so it's just me today. I want to thank all the listeners for listening in. I believe we already have a caller on the line. Guinevere, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Hi, Guinevere. Welcome to the show. I appreciate you calling in. My co-host, Suki, was unable to make it today, so it'll just be me today. And
I appreciate it.
So you'll get a little bit of extra time, you know, with your astrology chart with me. And, you know, what I typically do on the show is I like to, you know, focus in and tell you, you know, some of the key things in your chart that I'm really drawn to. And then, you know, we'll let you ask some questions. You'll get a little bit of extra time today with me, so we'll have plenty of time to talk.
Thank you so much.
I'm really, really drawn to your eighth house, Guinevere. I did not realize you are an eighth house person, and I do a lot of research on the eighth house, and I'm actually writing a book about the eighth house, and you are not only a eighth house person, you have a lot of Scorpio planets, and they're all sitting in the eighth house, so you are a very, very intuitive person. Very, you know, very perceptive, very psychic. I mean, you really can see through things and see through the truth, see through people, you know, what their true motives are. You know, you're very, very, sensitive to the environment, you know, also a very private person, you know, you like to kind of be behind the scenes. And yeah. You're a natural counselor, you know. I'm curious, are you in the helping profession?
Oh, my goodness. You know, my life has actually been very uneventful in some ways. I, for various reasons, I didn't get the education that I would have liked to have gotten. So all my skills have gone into my personal relationships. I'm a housewife and a mother at this point, and I was a realtor for a short time, but that kind of blew my circuits out, and I couldn't do that for very long.
Mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean. I mean, energetically, just with all the people. It kind of wore me out.
Yeah, you get drained easily. And actually,
what you said about being a counselor kind of made me laugh because just even as a just growing up in school, I mean, everybody came to me with their issues. I mean, even if they just barely knew me, I was always everybody's mom, even though I was their age.
That's right.
That's interesting that you picked up on that. That's nice.
Well, oh my gosh, yeah, and that's really the blessing of your chart. You know, when I'm looking, anyone that has the sun or the moon in the eighth house, I wrote an article about it, and I always talk about it. You really are a magnet for people that have problems. So people that have pain, anyone that has any kind of emotional pain is going to be very, very attracted to you, very drawn to you for healing.
Right.
You have a very healing energy about you. I mean, people tell you all their secrets, you know, and that's not just being a Scorpio, that's having all the eighth house, but Scorpio sun sign people, they often tell me, you know, when you're be in the grocery store, you'll be just walking, minding your own business, someone will walk up to you and share really deep things with you, like, you know, my father just died, I was abused as a child, and you're like shocked, because you're like, wow, you know, why are you telling me this? But it's your energy. Your energy draws people to share their pain with you, and their secrets, and it's kind of like you have an antenna that picks up on everything that's hidden and secret in the environment, and you feel it very deeply, and sometimes it can trouble you, because you don't want to feel some of the things you feel about people and in the world, but you're very, very intuitive, and very, and I'll tell you to trust your gut instinct, because you're a very, very perceptive person. You know, don't doubt your intuition. Really, someone, it's interesting you mentioned.
I think that's one of my issues right there is because I have a hard time sometimes. I think that's why I have such a life right now where I've been kind of hiding out because it's hard to differentiate my own stuff from other people sometimes. And I'm trying at this stage of my life to learn how to manage this energy stuff. And what to do with it. What am I supposed to be doing? So later on when we get to that point, I'm very curious about, you know, any advice on that?
You are, honestly, you are meant to be a healer. So anyone that has a lot of Scorpio or eighth house planets, they're meant to be in the counseling field, the medical field in some way, like a psychologist, a social worker, a counselor, a healer, even like a massage therapist or an energy worker, you know, doing Reiki or pranic healing, you know, acupuncture, anything that is, you know, healing people. Especially a lot of Scorpios like to use their hands.
Yeah.
And so they're known to be hands-on healers, even, chiropractors, but also anything you can help people with their problems. So hearing people's problems. Another thing, though, with 8th house people, I don't know if you've experienced this, but a lot of 8th house people tell me, you know, from a young age that sometimes you have strange experiences that you can't explain, you know, with spirits or ghosts or dreams, you know, very, very psychic experiences sometimes that you feel very alone because, you know, you don't understand it. A lot of people, you know, tell you it's just your imagination. But you have very real spiritual experiences, and you're a very spiritual person. So you're really meant to be spiritual, and you're meant to be of service to others. In your chart, you know, when I'm looking at your chart, you've been someone, believe it or not, that's been in some type of medical field, okay? Maybe a nurse, a doctor, somebody that helped people that were sick. So I don't know if you always had an interest in that, but I see that in your chart.
You know what? I was raised in a very restrictive religion, okay,
uh-huh.
that I really could not get the education. I was I really could not get out there. I mean, I was interested in the holistic arts. I was interested in homeopathy. I did some of that. And like I said, this is one of the reasons that I've had a lot of frustration in my life because I felt like I've been not on my path. I feel like I've been kind of isolated from my path. In some ways, I can see, like recently especially, that, you know, I probably have been hiding out a little bit because of kind of gotten overwhelmed with people with that job I had for a while. But in general, I feel like I need to get back on my path or find my path, finally.
Yeah, you are not someone that's supposed to be just being
no,
a home.
No, because I've got
home
so much going on in me energetically, and I really do want to know what to do with it. You're talking about Reiki and things like that. This is since I gave up that religion is the first time I've been able to have my mind open enough to realize it's okay to look at astrology. It's okay to think about healing with Reiki or something of that nature, and to not think that everything that comes from the spiritual realm is the devil. You know, maybe
exactly.
It's actually okay to look at those things that Christian thought and these other thoughts can actually coexist. And I'm not doing anything wrong by following apparently what I'm made for. You know, and I'm still figuring that out. So this age, I'm for the first time able to start looking at potentially what I could be doing, and I'm ready to do it.
Well, it's interesting, you know, you mentioned, because I know that I've been researching, there's a lot of people, a lot of churches, believe it or not, are now doing Reiki. They're having Reiki groups, like in different churches. I know the Catholic Church has some Reiki groups, and there's a few articles that I'd like to recommend for you, because I have a friend, she too, you know, was raised, you know, Christian, and I have a lot of clients that call me that, you know, kind of struggle, but once, you know, they talk to me, they realize that, you know, what I'm telling them is about 98% true about their personality, and they're like, this is really true and deep, and you know, and they kind of open their mind up a little bit. And I wrote a series of articles for about.com all about astrology in the Bible. And there's astrology, you know, in the Bible article, there's the dawning of the age of Aquarius, and it's really, I look at biblical scripture, and astrology is all throughout the Bible. And if you read those articles, I thought you might find them interesting, might, you know, kind of bring you some comfort a little bit.
The information about the star and the magi and all those, you know, it's extremely fascinating.
Mm-hmm. But, it's interesting with your chart because the real estate thing, I definitely see how you got drawn to that because your moon is in Capricorn. And it's sitting in your career house. And this is part of, I think, why you're feeling kind of some angst right now in your life. And because emotionally, you find your emotional happiness through your career. That is your chart.
Yeah, it's something to put my hands on. Yeah.
Yeah, and you like to achieve things. You like to be success. And that's that Capricorn moon is very, very powerful. And it's sitting in your career house. So And I always tell people, you know, whatever house the moon is in is where you find your emotional comfort and happiness. And a lot of Capricorns are drawn to real estate. That's a Capricorn field is real estate, business, and finance and things like that. But the problem is you have so much Scorpio and so much eighth house. You're not going to be fulfilled doing a real practical type of job like that. You're going to feel, like you said, drained. You need something, believe it or not, you need something very deep and rewarding, helping others, and something where you can be very spiritual, not so much religious, but spiritual, helping people. And that's your destiny. You're meant to be a spiritual person. And everything you do, that's where you're going to have success. Anything you do with helping others, if it's children, if it's, you know, the elderly or working in a hospital or working in hospice, a lot of 8th house Scorpio people are drawn to working around death and dying issues. And I see that. And I don't know if you've been interested in that at all, but or, you know, nursing, different things like that.
Well, I would be open to it, absolutely. It's so funny. It's just I have such a blank slate, and you get comfortable with, it's like I have this yearning to get out and to get around people and to interact and start my life. It's still, but at the same time, I've had so many draining experiences with people that I'm a little bit gun-shy, so I'm kind of, that's why I've been kind of like doing a lot of research kind of, you know, in my head, you know, like doing a lot of internet, doing a lot of personal research and things like that. So I'm going to have to just bite the bullet and get out there and see what I can find in classes or training or things like that, and kind of just go ahead and do it. I've been a little bit overwhelmed about where to even start.
See, that's the thing with an eighth house person. That's one of the hardest things for people that are eighth house is to get out into the world, because you feel everybody's stuff. You pick up everybody's emotions, everyone's karma. If people are happy, you absorb it. If people are negative and toxic, it impacts you physically. Like, you can get physically sick from people in the environment. And the best thing, you know, I have a lot of eighth house, so I totally know how you feel. And, you know, and it's very, very, it's a hard house to have planets in. But, because there's a lot of pain that comes through people. Because what happens with you, this is what I'm picking up, is because you have so much Scorpio in 8th house, a lot of people want to tell you all their secrets. They share all these things with you, and because they're so drawn to you, and they start talking, and they start telling you all of these things that they would never tell anyone else. And what happens, though, you end up getting hurt because they start to feel uncomfortable around you because they've told you too much. It's kind of like they feel very vulnerable with you now because you know some really, really taboo things about their life, and it actually brings you pain through friendship and through people because of your gift, of your ability of being so intuitive. People share a lot with you, but then they kind of may, you know, distance from you or, you know, cut off from you. Have you had that happen?
Oh, constantly, It's been very, it's like, I feel kind of like everybody's recycling bin, you know, and they kind of come in and they kind of go out, and I don't really have, it's like, it's very one-sided. Everybody feels very comfortable with me, but if I have energy or if there was ever any reciprocation or if I ever needed the same from someone else, there's not another me around for that, you know. There's not the same, they wouldn't know how to do that, if that makes any sense, you know. It's been very isolating.
Now, one of the things I'm picking up, and this is something I've seen through, you know, a lot of research I've done with the nodes of the moon in your natal chart, the south node represents your past life and your soul mission. You know, things that you've already mastered is your south node, and the north node is really why you're here this life and what you're supposed to learn and what, you know, what mission that God has for you. And in the past, you are born a very creative person, okay? You got South Node in Leo, and a lot of people with that node have some type of artistic ability, okay? Singing, you know, writing, dancing, drama, you know, being on stage. You are someone that, you know, really has a gift. There's some type of a gift that you have or you always felt that you had something special, even when you were little. But what happens with this node, it's interesting that you mentioned your family and the background you came in, because a lot of people with the South Node Leo grow up in a very similar environment that you described, where their gifts and their talents weren't rewarded or weren't even given any credit at all. And they, you know, you weren't seen as special with your talents and gifts. And you're like, wait a minute, I know, I remember being, you know, recognized. I remember being special, and I remember having a gift, and people knew me. You know, you're someone that was, you know, famous, that people knew because of your gift and your talent. And this life, that's been blocked, okay? And part of it's the environment that you chose, but it's that node blocks you from shining, okay, until you get older. So this is really interesting because now you're really moving towards your north node after we turn 31 years old. That's the first time we start even going towards the north node. So you're feeling it right now. You know what I mean?
You're just creeping me out in a really great way. 31, that's right around the time I left my first marriage, and that was the beginning of getting out of that whole life that I was talking about from my, you know, my birth. And over the last 8 years, it's been that kind of journey. I actually left the religion officially, but I really was out of it pretty much since that time, two, 3 years ago. And I'm ever since my 31st birthday, it has been that journey of getting out of that and moving towards whatever the heck I'm supposed to be.
you are on the right path now. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, you are. You'll get there. You're moving towards it. And I was going to say something earlier, but I was going to wait until we talked a little bit. But I did see in your chart you have Uranus in the seventh house, and that almost always shows me that there is a divorce. And a separation at least once in your life. So I'm glad you mentioned that because I do see that in your natal chart, and I wasn't going to say anything because, you know, I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to wait and see what you mentioned with that, you know, because, you know, I'm glad you've already been through that, and that is a hard placement for Uranus. It's sitting in your marriage and partnership house. So, and Mars is also there, and you know, everything about the seventh house is our marriage partner, our relationship. And there's often an unexpected, very unique, very different marriage that you experience. And there's often divorce or separation. And it's really about you finding your freedom and your independence and you being who you truly are. And
well, that's really interesting because I've gotten remarried.
Go ahead.
And this new relationship, it just recently has gotten a lot more. We're coming to an understanding where we're going to be a lot more open than we've been, and if that makes any sense. I don't want to interrupt you because I definitely want to hear everything you have to say, but what you're saying is making it that I hope that means that the divorce is already out of the way and the really unusual great marriage is what I'm dealing with now. I hope that's what
that means. It does. It does. You're meant to go through a divorce at least once in your life. Once you do it, it's a karmic placement. You've already did it. You've already learned from it. It's the past. So I'm really happy that you've told me you've already did that. So that makes me feel good because you're only on to good things now with that north node. And I'll tell you what, as long as you serve others in some way, that is where your greatest success is going to come with your career and in your life in general. Your life happiness is tied to you being of service to others. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Oh, my
God. And,
thank you.
And no matter what you do, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go back to school for 6 years or anything like that. You know, you can take classes in something you're drawn to. Looking at your chart, you know, I can tell you where you have some good luck. You know, you have a lot of, like I said, healing work, energy work, massage therapy, counseling, you know, being a counselor, all of those things. You could be a life coach. You know, you don't have to go to school and get a psychology degree or a license in social work to be a life coach. I have a friend that she's a life coach, never been to college, you know, very intuitive, very much an eighth house person like you. She helps a lot of people. So you can be a life coach and call yourself that, you know, and help people in their life. So there's a lot of things you can do without having that formal education. You know what I mean?
That is the trick I'm having to work with because of the way my foundation was laid early on. I'm kind of stuck with, I don't know how much time I have to afford to go back to school
mm-hmm.
to get a proper degree for certain things. I may have to get creative that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see. Anything you do that you can help people with their problems, that you can listen to them because you are very intuitive. Someone with a lot of eighth house, too, there's something that there's good things, which a lot of people have inheritance. They inherit something or the property or the goods of someone that's died, and I don't know if you've had that, but a lot of Scorpio people lose a loved one at a young age, and a lot of eighth house people experience the death of someone close to them. And, you know, death and rebirth and healing is all about the eighth house, and that's what you feel like in your life. You feel like you go through these miniature death and rebirths. It's like emotionally you die and you're completely a new person. Physically, you feel like you're stripped and you have to completely start fresh. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like I've been a phoenix back in when I was 31, and I'm kind of hitting that mode again now.
Mm-hmm. And it is. It's the house of the phoenix, and there's I call it Phoenix Rising. I got an audio on my website about the phoenix, and it's all about someone like you, an eighth house person. And your Venus is there, your Mercury, your Jupiter, your Neptune, your Sun. And that's one of the things that makes you want to hide because you have a stellium. I mean, you have, I always say if someone has more than three planets in a house, that house just takes over the entire chart. And eighth house people, they like to hide, be behind the scenes. They like to be alone. You're someone that needs alone time to recoup and recover from the world, okay? Because you feel everything. Another thing that I see, one thing that will help you is learning to have really strong boundaries with people because that will help you not feel and get hurt as much from others and their energy. You know, it's not that they're always trying to hurt you, but their energy hurts you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You have, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you. They don't even know, and I recognize that.
Mm-hmm. You have Pisces on your rising sign, and the rising sign is kind of the mask that we show to the world, and it's how, you know, people first perceive us, and it's also how we relate to stress in the world and the environment, and it's also how we physically look. But whenever someone has Pisces on the first house cusp like you do, you are wide open, okay? When you walk in somewhere, you are like a sponge, a psychic sponge.
Yeah.
So it's like a double whammy with all your eighth house and then that Pisces because you're very compassionate, you're very sensitive, and you just you lack boundaries between yourself and others. You know, you take on the characteristics of the group. Like when you're around people, you're very much a chameleon. You know, you can get along with many different types of people from different walks of life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
you're
very charming. People are very drawn to you because you have a very sensitive, nurturing, very compassionate energy when people first meet you. And again, it's similar to that eighth house. You draw people that have problems, okay? That need help, that have wounds. Your chart is the chart of the wounded healer. You really, you know, everything about your chart, and I know I've repeated this, is about helping other people. That's what you're meant to do.
Well, yep. Thank you for confirming that. I'm gonna be looking into whatever fields I can be doing with that. Is there anything?
Yeah,
pick up about. Gosh, I mean, how psychic am I supposed to be? Because I've spent so much of my life blocked that I don't even know.
You're born with it.
You know, I mean, how much am I supposed to receive from the other side? I mean, what am I supposed to do? And, you know, and I don't know if this has anything to do anything with past lives. Can anything carry over physically?
What did you say?
With past lives, can anything carry over in your physical body from past lives?
Oh, definitely.
Because I've had this odd thing that happens to me every so often, very randomly. It doesn't seem to correlate with anything having to do with my life. It's like my shoulder joints especially seem to just, for whatever reason, when I'm not expecting it, every now and then they'll just roll out, and I have to put them back in there. It's just strange. Yeah. The only thing I can think of is, did something happen to me? You know,
yeah.
that I would have an old energy. I mean, did something? I mean, it must have been very traumatic if this is because it doesn't cause me pain. My shoulders are fine, but every so often that thing, this odd thing will happen, and it's very painful and gets my attention, obviously. But it doesn't seem to correlate with any. It's not pointing to anything going on in my present life. There's no pattern.
This is when we look at medical astrology. You know, a lot of times I want to look at where is the sun and the moon, but also Saturn. You have Saturn in Taurus, and Saturn in Taurus, Taurus rules the shoulders and the neck and the shoulder blades, okay? So
yeah.
Saturn is the planet of restriction, and it's the planet of karma and responsibilities and heavy burdens. So I think that is why you're having some health vulnerabilities in that area. You're very vulnerable in your shoulder and neck area. That's where you tend to get issues, you know what I mean? Like tight neck. All of that,
and
that's your chart. That's in your chart. I see that. And another thing, reason in medical astrology, we always look at your sun sign too. You're a Scorpio, and in medical astrology, you always share health vulnerabilities of your polar opposite sign. So your polar opposite sign is Taurus. Everything with the shoulders and neck and the upper back. So you have a ton of Scorpio. So that means you have a lot of Taurus vulnerabilities health-wise. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what it is. And let me ask you this, too. Do you have a lot of Scorpio in 8th house? A lot of Scorpio females sometimes have some reproductive issues, you know, cysts on the ovaries, endometriosis, things with the reproductive system sometimes can be a problem, maybe very painful cycles, you know, periods. That's another vulnerable area for you, is anything with the female reproductive and the elimination system, like the colon, the bowels, you know, spastic colon, you know, stomach issues, things like that. That's where you're vulnerable.
I've been very lucky with the reproduction area because my family as a whole, the women don't seem to be doing well there. There's been various issues with that, but like you said, the colon and things like that. There's been more issues on, and there's really no reason for it. So I think I'm just more sensitive.
Yeah, it's your vulnerable area, and I always tell people, you know, when we're under stress, or you know, even just as we age, or just the way it is, everyone is vulnerable in certain areas of their body based on, you know, their natal chart, and you have a lot of Scorpio and Taurus, so. Anything with reproduction and any in elimination, and anything with the shoulders, in the neck, in the thyroid gland is also a Taurus ruler, and that Saturn in Taurus, that's what it is. I really think so. When you about your shoulders, let me ask you. Let me look at your. Let me see. You know, you can ask me anything, and I'm going to look at your transit chart and kind of see what is going on here.
I always wondered if I had thyroid issues. I've been disgustingly healthy in spite of sometimes these things come up, and it always ends up being in my head because I'll go to the doctor and get my blood work done, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
And perfectly normal. And I am fine. Because it's really funny. Everything you mentioned, it's like it reminds me of my mother actually more than me when it comes to some of the problems.
Well, I'll tell you this. There's a few things I see going on for you. The last 3 years, you have had a lot more health issues, and feeling a little bit more cautious and worried about that because you've had Saturn has been transiting your 6th house, and, you know, we talked about Saturn. It restricts, and guess where it's been? It's been in your house of health. It's been in your health house, your medical house. So a lot of times, you know, I have Neptune transiting my 6th house right now, which is a really, really long transit, so you're lucky because Saturn's only like a 2 to 3 year transit, and Neptune lasts for years. So I've been having lots of weird allergies and viruses and infections and misdiagnosis and all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
and it's very normal when you have a major planet transiting your health house. But you've been, you know, the things with restriction, the shoulder thing may have got worse the last 3 years because I think because your Saturn's in Taurus and your Saturn is sitting in the 6th house of health. So lots of health stuff, but good news. Saturn is going to be leaving your health house very, very soon. I'd say within 6 months. Yep.
perfect.
It's going to be leaving.
Well, it feels like that because I've been working on losing. It feels like it's about time for me. The biggest thing that's been happening is I've been gaining a lot of weight the last 3 years, and I think it's actually going to be going away now. It looks like it is.
Mm-hmm. That Saturn makes you hold on to things, restricts. It makes you feel burdened, and you know when we feel more stressed, we like to eat more, right? We like to do unhealthy behaviors and diet. You know, so when it moves out of there,
you can't really take care of yourself as well.
That's right. And let me ask you this: did you have this is what's interesting? I know you said you've been a stay at home mom. You've been doing that a long time. One of the reasons that you're feeling the way you are right now is. Guess what planet just went into your house of career? Pluto. And Pluto is the planet of change, of death and rebirth and transformation. And whenever there's a Pluto transit of the career house, someone changes their career dramatically, okay? And that's what's going on with you. You feel that Pluto energy pushing you out into the public, out into the world, out into the career house, and you're wanting to make changes there. And it's going to be lasting for several years for you. So this is a great time to do the career changes and to get out there and do what you want to do with career because Pluto has made you feel this way. We feel Pluto. It's so intense when it transits a house and, and the area of life that it's impacting you with is your career. And it's like you feel this change. You feel this unsettled energy. And you feel restless, and that's why it's that Pluto in your career house, which is really a good thing because when it went in there, it kind of brought you out of your shell and it made you kind of want to get out more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I see that's what's going on with that. I don't see anything. Those are the two major things I am so drawn to. The only other thing I'm drawn to share with you, and I don't know if this has already happened, but if you don't want to have any more children, I'd be a little bit careful because you have Uranus in the fifth house shows me that there may be an unexpected pregnancy or
really?
Something like that. Yeah, and sometimes it's out of wedlock, so you're not married when it happens. So just a little heads up on that to watch for that.
Okay.
And
wow.
Yeah, change
well, I'm married.
Yeah, go ahead.
It would be a surprise, trust me, but. We do. It's something we were just joking about. This, like, we finally decided not to have, our own. We're remarried. We have our kids together, but from different marriages. And we kept thinking about having kids, and then we decided, you know what? No, we're just going to move on and not do that. We, we're content. You know, so we made a joking again. Of course, now that's what's going to happen, right? You know, so
yeah.
I hope not because we're ready to move on from that. But it's so funny that you brought that up.
If it happens, it's going to happen unexpectedly. And it's going to be totally out of your control because that's what Uranus does. It blindsides us. It completely rocks our world and shakes our foundation. You know, when Uranus energy hits, we're not even aware of what's going on. You know what I mean? So just
exactly.
Just a little heads up.
Could it be anything else as far as that house goes other than a pregnancy? I mean, not that you can expect these things because I know that's not the nature of that.
I'm very positive it has to do with a pregnancy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my feeling.
Care.
So I wanted to share that with you, definitely. And I think I have another caller. But Faye, is there anything else I can answer for you? And
I really appreciate this conversation. And I will look at your site for some more information. And thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye. I think we have another caller on the line.
Yes. Hello.
Hi. Are you Jennifer?
Jennifer.
Nice. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Let me kind of pull up your chart here. Let me see here. Have you ever had a natal chart reading before?
Long time ago, maybe when I was about 16.
Okay. I'm looking at your, similar to my first caller, you have a lot of eighth house planets. And I just wanted to ask you, have you looked into that a little bit? Have you read some of the articles I've written about the eighth house?
Yes, actually that was how I found you. I found an article that you had written on your website about the eighth house, which was very was great. It was very informative to me.
I'm just amazed here when I'm looking at your eighth house. It's just amazing. You have Pluto, Uranus, Jupiter, South Node, the Moon, and Mars all in your eighth house. So again, you are a very very sensitive person, very intuitive, very you absorb everything in your environment, like we were talking about. You feel people's pain. Sometimes eighth house people struggle because, and I've felt like that in my life, I'll be very attracted to certain people, very drawn to them, and I don't know why, but the older I get and the more I started researching eighth house, I realized it's not love, I'm feeling their pain. So there's a difference.
Yeah.
There's really an issue with love and feeling people's pain and knowing the difference. Have you been through that in your life?
Early in my life, it was harder, but I've become a psychotherapist. So I work very directly with assisting people with their pain. And I think, in certain ways, that sensitivity helped me.
Yes, I mean you're in the I'm glad to hear that you are in the helping profession because eighth house people have to help others. That's what makes our life easier, and we're kind of like the wounded healer. Through helping others emotionally, you're going to heal yourself, and it's really going to help you. In many many ways. Again, you're someone that. Nothing shocks you. You've heard it all. You've heard, dark stories of, taboo things. And you're very accepting of people. You're very good at, nourishing them and counseling them, with your gifts.
It's interesting because I've worked with a lot of different kinds of people, but I've worked with people on death row and people going through gender transitions. I've kind of done a lot of stuff that maybe other people would feel is a little close to the bone.
I'm looking at, I'm drawn to your Neptune. Your Neptune is in the 10th house of career. And on your career house, we also have Scorpio. So that shows me that, you're definitely in the right profession. You're meant to be, a psychiatrist, a psychotherapist, a healer, an energy worker. You're meant to help people heal their deep wounds. But Neptune in the 10th also shows me that you actually would do really good working with people that have some type of addiction, okay?
Hmm.
So I don't know if you've ever been drawn to that, but most people that have Neptune in the 10th work in the addiction field, people, with alcoholism and drug addiction.
No,
so that's you'd have a very a talent at that. You'd have you'd be very good at helping people with that. It's right there conjunct your 10th house cusp, so it surprises me that you're not, doing treatment with addiction. You have a lot of good luck with that.
I'll certainly keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I'm very drawn to about your chart is, you are a Sagittarius, and a sun sign Sagittarius person, you like your freedom, you like movement, you like travel, you like foreign culture, foreign places. And a lot of people with the sun and Sag, tend to be drawn to foreigners. So a lot of times you may marry or be attracted or date someone that's very different or unique from you in some way, from a different background. I don't know if you've experienced that.
My partner is Cuban, so we do come from different backgrounds.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's like every time, usually there is, and I find that if people don't have a partner that's from a different culture or background, when they're a Sag, a lot of times, they're having a hard time meeting someone, they're not having partners, they're not getting married, and once I kind of, tell them that, then they open up their eyes, and then they do attract, the right partner. So you've already found that partner, so that's great. And
yeah, we've been very happy for a long time, yeah.
Good, good. Have you always attracted people that were from a different background or culture from you? And
I lived abroad for quite a while, and the last person that I was seriously involved with, I met while I was living abroad. I was living in India, so it came to me through that kind of an experience.
That's amazing. And you are a traveler. I mean, your sun is there, so you shine when you can, you know, interact with foreigners and go to foreign countries and travel overseas. And you're very intelligent, very smart, very free spirit. The one thing I'm very drawn to is your node, your North node, and I want to, you know, share with you that and then let you ask me a question before we wrap up. And I know the South node in your chart is your past lifetimes, and your South node is in Libra, your North node is in Aries. So what I typically find, you know, with people with this placement is, in past lives, you were someone that you always had a partner. You're used to having a partner from a young age, having a relationship, having a partner felt very comfortable for you. You know, Libras rule the seventh house of marriage and partnership. So everything was really a remembrance of having someone to share your life with, you know, having someone to rely on, having someone take care of you and you can take care of them, you know. But allowing your partner to take care of you is something that you've done a lot, okay? And you have a lot of Libra this life, so attracting partners and having relationships and compromising and being a peacemaker are very natural to you. The difficult thing about this node is sometimes relationships and marriage can be blocked for people with this node until they master a little bit of that North node. And for you, that North node is in Aries. And so you're meant, really your sole mission is to learn to be self-reliant and independent and not to have a partner, you know, not to need a partner to be who you truly are. So it's like, and I don't know if that fits for you, if you felt that pull. Have you experienced that?
Well, I, you know, my family of origin was a little rocky, so I've been taking care of myself for quite a long time, and I am, in a professional and financial way, very able to take care of myself, and I think I've never looked to a partnership to provide that for me, so I think I've been able to be very happy and trusting in my current partnership. It's not about being taken care of. I really able to take care of myself.
So you're really embracing that North Node Aries energy. That's wonderful, because a lot of people with these nodes, you know, they sometimes have, you know, not that they're not meeting people, but you know, they usually marry later in life, and I always usually recommend that if you do marry, to marry when you're a little bit older, you know, not in your early 20s. You know what I mean? So and that can really be a good luck for you as far as that goes. You know.
Mhm.
Is there anything you want to ask me?
Yeah, I would be actually curious. I noticed in your last reading you were talking about transits, and I really feel like this year in particular feels like it has a lot of change on the horizon, and I was wondering if that in any way shows up in my chart.
Yeah, where do you live right now? What city and state?
I live in Brooklyn, in New York.
Where at again?
New York City.
Oh, New York City. Okay, perfect. Let me pull this up. Okay. Get this up here. So are there, I'm looking here, you have a lot going on. Typically, I'm drawn to, you know, the major outer planets, you know, when they're transiting. It looks to me like, you know, you've already been through a lot of career changes in the past. And, you know, I'm not worried about that for you. The thing I do see, though, is money and financial things going on. Your Uranus is transiting your second house. And a lot of times there's unexpected, you know, financial, you know, issues. You know, maybe, you know, your car breaks down or you're going to buy a home. So, you know, money is kind of up and down, fluctuates a little bit. You could, and that's really going to be impacting you for the next, I'd say for the next 6 years. Because Uranus is, it's a 7 to 8 year transit. So whenever it transits a house, I always look at where Uranus is because it blindsides us. Like I was saying, it, you know, it kind of hits you out of the blue and shakes up your life, and then it kind of disappears, and then it comes back in and shakes things up in that area of life. And Uranus, you know, it's a very unsettling energy. You can feel a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous when, you know, that energy is messing with your security house, you know, your security, yeah. your comfort, your finances. And the good thing about it is, though, is that Uranus, I really believe this is going to help you in a way, because in your natal chart, you have Saturn in your second house. Saturn is where we feel heavy responsibilities, where we feel most uncomfortable, where we feel restricted, and where we feel burdens. And anyone that has Saturn in the second house in their natal chart, you're someone that's born that you're always going to worry about money. You're always going to worry about security. Deep in your soul, there's a fear of not having enough. Does that make sense?
I've certainly had to work very hard, and I know that there's not a lot of a safety net for me. So it really is about my own ability to make money.
That's
yeah,
right. You're always aware that, you know, a heavy responsibility, like, you know, that you can't always rely on anyone else, so you've had to rely on yourself. So someone with Saturn in the second, no matter how successful you are, you're always going to be a little bit more thrifty with your finances. Does that make sense? You're always going to be a little bit more cautious with what you spend and with, you know, your money. And Uranus there is actually going to help loosen you up a little bit with that, and it's going to help you feel a little bit more, believe it or not, a little bit more secure in some ways. So it actually is a good thing, you know, once it comes into aspect with that Saturn, which is going to be in, you know, in a few years. But, you know, it's going to be there for 6 years. So I see a lot of up and downs with finances, but could be good things too. You know, also I see people that they can get a pay raise, you know. You might get also an inheritance. A lot of times when Uranus transits the second, there's some type of an inheritance from someone, property, possessions. And because you are an eighth house person, a lot of eighth house people also inherit some type of money in their life, some type of property from someone, either their family or their spouse, their partner.
Mm-hmm.
So you benefit through your partner, okay, when you get as you get older.
That's true.
So
I have benefited through my partner,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That has been true. Can I ask if there's time, what does it mean to have so many planets in the eighth house? How would that impact me?
It means that you have a lot of karma revolved around healing yourself. And from past lives, like you talked about, you know, I know you said you had a feeling that maybe something happened to you. A lot of people with eighth house planets, it is a very karmic house. It's a very spiritual house. So anything that's happened to you, it's interesting because you have a lot of Libra there. It's all about relationships. You have a lot of karma with relationships, okay? People in general, you know, friends, lovers, you have a lot of lessons that you learn, and your greatest suffering comes through people, okay, and through relationships. Does that kind of make sense for you?
Yes, I would say especially through family relationships.
Oh, yeah. See, your moon is in the eighth house, and the moon represents the mother figure in your life. And a lot of times when the moon is there, you know, it makes you a very sensitive person emotionally, but there's usually some type of issue with the mother figure in some way. A lot of times what I see, too, is when Pluto Pluto and Uranus are in the eighth house, there sometimes can be the death of a parent at a young age or the death of someone close to you when you were younger. Did you experience that?
In effect. I mean, I think my mother didn't die when I was very young, but she really emotionally separated from the family. So I've been more or less on my own since I was about 12, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like it was like an ending. It was like
like
a symbolic death, really. With
yeah,
that,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's definitely eighth house. It's all about physical death or emotional symbolic death of the emotions of, you know, people in your life. And with the moon there, I see it's really connected to your mother. And that's where you're meant to heal, and that's where your greatest growth comes. And through really healing other people, that is the only way that eighth house people heal themselves. You know, we can go and talk to a therapist ourselves, you know, and share our problems with friends, but nothing truly heals us inside until we help other people that have gone through a similar experience that we've gone through. And that helps us truly heal our issues. You know, talking to a counselor doesn't help eighth house people. We have to feel and see someone cry. We have to see them share and feel, you know, kind of a transference, like we feel their pain. We know what it was like for them. That helps us truly let go of things. And you're meant to heal and let go of a lot of unhealthy emotions and anything that's, you know, bringing you down. You're meant to release that. You're meant to release any pain you have and anything that hasn't been healed. You're really meant to heal that, okay?
Are there, I don't mean to sound like really tongue-in-cheek about it, but are there happy aspects to having those placements, or is it really mostly about struggle?
No, the happy placements are spirituality. Having a becoming a very spiritual person, not religious, but very spiritually deep. It's the house of someone that has a deep connection with people. And the blessing of the eighth house is that you can feel connected to everyone and everything at times. It's like a oneness with everyone and everything. And even spiritual connection to God, you know, people have very mystical experiences. When they have eighth house planets, you may dream things that happen. You may feel connected to people in a deep way. And that's really what eighth house people are looking for, is a soulmate, you know, a deep bond with another human being. And that's where our pain comes from, but we're also more likely to find that bond with someone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And if you, when you find that bond with a person, that is the true blessing of the eighth house. And lots of spiritual gifts. I mean, there's a lot of good things, but there's a lot of you know, karma and lessons as well. But, you know, we chose to be born with eighth house planets to learn, and it's all about learning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, I do know. That makes a lot of sense to me.
And I'm glad to hear. I mean, you're in the right field, and, you know, you're meant to, you know, really learn from your relationships and learn to let others, you know, take care of you a little bit, your partner. You're meant to learn to let your partner take care of you, and you're not used to that, you know what I mean? Because of your life situation and because you have so much eighth house. Eighth house people sometimes distrust others. You know, there's intimacy issues, there's trust issues, and it takes you a while to truly allow someone in. And to rely on them is a very big task for someone like you. So I believe the older you get, the more comfortable you're going to be with allowing your partner to take care of you. You know what I mean? And you don't have to be so driven and so hard on yourself, okay?
Yeah. No, I do feel that. I do feel that as I've gotten older, that's gotten easier.
Mm-hmm. And it will. The older you get, I always tell people, you know, the first time we start feeling our north node is at age 27 to 30. And at age 31 is when, for the first time, we start moving towards that north node. And we feel it's an energy thing. You know, we feel a pull. And by the time we're 57 years old, that's our second Saturn return, we're doing what we came here to do. You know, people are in their north node. So the older you get, you're gonna get more comfortable with partnership. You're gonna really be able to have, you know, a deep bond with someone and to let yourself rely on others. You're gonna be a lot more comfortable about that and feel a lot of support from other people that you didn't have in your past. Does that make sense?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So I see a lot of good things. I don't see anything really major. Except the money, you know, the money issues with Uranus transit. And I also see, you know, Mars is in your seventh house right now, which is a very short transit. So just for maybe a month or so, you may have more conflict and debates with your partner right now. There might be a little bit of tension, but it's going to pass. So don't worry about it. If you're arguing and you've never argued before, it's normal. It's a very quick transit, so just be aware of that.
That's good to know, certainly. And would you say that in terms of building on the career that I'm already in, if I've been working individually with people, would there be anything in the chart to indicate that moving towards sort of working on a larger scale with bigger groups or maybe writing, would there be anything indicated in the chart that that would be a successful thing to do?
Yes, you actually are born, you know, very artistic and creative. You have a lot of, you know, the Libra. Libras are writers, you know, musicians, artists. So you have a very creative, artistic side to you. And with groups, that's your Sun and Mercury in the 11th house. You do shine when you're part of a group. And I see you teaching in groups. That is in your chart. And, do you like to do that?
Well, that's what I'm getting ready to do is
oh,
sort of launch, sort of launch a series of teaching events that are linked to work that I've been doing with people individually. So I'm hoping that what you say is true. Yeah,
that'll be very successful. And anything you do with addiction, okay, with your career, you'll be success. So that's something to look into if you haven't worked with people that have addiction. You have a lot of good luck with that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and the groups, teaching in groups, definitely see you doing that. That's you're meant to do that. That's where you shine. That's where your sun is, in the house of groups and friendship, the 11th house.
Great.
Thank you so much. And it was great talking to you today.
Fun.
I'm probably going to have to wrap up here. It went quick. The hour went really fast. So.
It did. Thank you so much. It's been very helpful.
Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, I want to thank all the listeners out there for tuning in today. If you're interested in calling in and having a session with me live, you know, just email me at carmenturnershot@hotmail.com with your date of birth and time of birth and city, state, country of birth and what show you would like to call in on, what date, and we'll get it scheduled. Thank you for listening in, and thank you for the callers today for sharing your stories with me, and have a wonderful weekend.